Good evening, everybody. James McCanny here with My Science, May 20th, 2021, and quite a few topics to cover tonight. First of all, right out of the chute, this week announced that there was problems in the old hometown corral with Billy Gates and Melinda, and I'm sure you've all heard about this. I just want to give a little bit of commentary because there are a lot of people on this planet that really do not like Bill Gates. He's been flaunting, even big money people that are up at that level of wealth. In fact, let me say something too. They talk about him and changing hands as being the wealthiest man, or Warren Buffett, or Musk, or any of the other Amazon guy, what's his name, Bezos, being the richest men in the world, Zuckerberg, etc. But they're really not. The wealth that they have is the visible wealth, and their faces are visible, and their personas are visible. They're not the wealthiest people in the world by a long shot. The people that are the wealthiest people in the world, you don't see, you don't hear their names, you don't know them, they're never in the news, etc. Okay, now that we got that out of the way. So anyway, it apparently is what's going on due to the headlines in the cyber trash arena is that Billy was hanging out with, what's his name? The pedophile guy, Jeffrey Epstein. And Melinda, apparently, when they first encountered, according to the news, this is just what I've heard, my commentary will come in a minute, she said she didn't like this guy, the Jeffrey Epstein guy, and just told Billy to stay away, and Billy did not. So I think this is where the rift comes in, because this all happened, according to the stories, after Epstein was convicted. And of course, there were minor convictions of child, underage happenings with sexual encounters with underage people. But of course, that was the tip of the iceberg, as you, I'm sure, all are aware. So this is nothing new. There's nothing new and exciting and, revolutionary that I'm telling you now. But here is the thing. I think now that this has gone public, this signals the beginning of the downfall of Bill Gates. I think his demise is at hand. And that's what's important. Just a little bit about the history. And Billy was out in Washington. They were out in Bellevue, Microsoft. Going great guns. They had pretty much wiped out the competition and were sailing. Billy was at the top of his game and rising. He had made financial moves that were based on his mother and father being in key positions to get him the contract with the federal government, for example, to have Windows as the operating system in the personal computers, which were becoming vastly important at that time. Okay, so anyway, Billy got involved in a lawsuit. The FBI went after him. Everybody went after Billy because he was going to be tough guy and not allow the government to have backdoors into his software. This is what it was all about. And I could quote other situations where people resisted the government putting back doors. And what is a back door? It's basically an allowance for some other entity to get into your computer. And Billy was going to play hardball and not do this. Well, then, of course, they have their ways to, as Chuck Schumer says, 10 ways to Sunday to get at people who don't cooperate. And so anyway, one day, then this was a big lawsuit, and Billy could have done something very smart. He could have just moved 100 miles north, or not even 100 miles, to Vancouver on the Canadian side, moved his whole operations, flipped his nose up to the federal government in the U.S. and kept doing what he was doing. From the Canadian side, they would have loved to have a major business like Microsoft in their in Canada. But he did not. And so one day everything got peachy keen and rosy and everything got dropped. Clearly, Billy allowed them to come in and put backdoors into software, which this is back in the good grief. I don't even know the year this was. Probably back in the 90s. I don't know if it goes back into the 80s. Anyway, that date is not real important, but it was very early when the PCs, the personal computer was coming out, IBM was getting involved in that industry, etc. But anyway, so Billy caved. All of a sudden, he's hanging out with the Clintons. Big buddy, Billy gets to buy his own telescope. There was a big publicly funded telescope operation down in South America, in the west coast of, I think, Argentina, that very dry area, what is it called, Atacama, or I forget the name, the desert down there where they were building the big telescopes in the southern hemisphere. This is before they took their operations down to the Antarctica, and this is back in the early days of Hale-Bopp, in fact. But Billy got to buy this telescope facility. Was all of a sudden the funding was cut, and it was almost all built, so there was only a little bit left to go. So Billy came in, put down the rest of the money, telescope was built, and he took it over. So it was his personal telescope. And this is the kind of stuff that all of a sudden Billy's life changed for the better. And he went on then to make a lot of money. He made a lot of money and invested that. And he made a very, what you would consider, a smart investment. He turned, and this is what a lot of rich people do, they create a foundation. So therefore, a foundation is not taxable. It's a 501(c) or whatever, 503(c), I forget the tax categorization of a tax-free entity. And so all of his money became tax-protected in there. And so he then was able to continue doing all the things he did before. And I'm not going to go through all the history about how he got into vaccinations and up to the point where we are today, where he was investing 10 years ago in running worldwide health operations in India, in Africa, in the United States. He became associated with the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control, the CDC in the United States, various pharmaceutical companies, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funding research, owning patents and partial ownership of patents, dealing with COVID, and the list goes on. So anyway, needless to say, you see his videos of him just brushing off and going, yes, until the whole world is vaccinated, we will not have a new normal. I mean, this is Billy. You know, as if he's the, you know, curator of the world and your boss, the owner of your body, etc. And, of course, he gets to invest in all of this, which has vast returns under his foundation, which is tax exempt. So there's a few people hanging around that don't exactly like Billy, including myself. At any rate, these people have a way of taking care of themselves in time, sometimes. And you will see probably that a lot of the other very wealthy people do not get involved with people like Jeffrey Epstein. And so there again, what was he involved with? But I think that the laundry is starting to get hung out on the line. And there might be a day very soon. Because here's the thing, and you've seen this over and over, whether it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, you could just go through the laundry list of people that were big, riding at the top of their game, and all of a sudden it came crashing down, and it's because they crossed somebody high up. Hillary Clinton, a great example, when she was running for president in back in the 2006 time frame, 2007 time frame for the 2008 election, where Barry Obama comes in and all of a sudden sweeps it away from her. She was getting to be too big, and she crossed David Rockefeller, or one of the Rockefellers, I think it was David, and he cut the funding, and she went under. She had to be Secretary of State. She had to go back and be a senator from New York and various other things, and so she had to eat crow until she finally realized that she wasn't in charge. And when she came back for the 2016 election, she was set to do anything because she knew who ran the show now. She knew that if she wanted to be president, she needed the okay of the people higher up than her. She thought she was going to be president. Queen Hillary. Nope. But anyway, these people have a way of falling out of grace because they get too big for their britches. And as Bill Clinton aptly put it one time, he got religion. When he was, Billy was another great example. Billy was a governor of Arkansas, of course, and that was during the MENA, Arkansas CIA drug operation down there. And Billy was running shotgun, basically, making a lot of money. You know, the movie American Made is not really accurate. It's kind of accurate, but they try and put the blame of all the trafficking on the pilots. The pilots were just working for the organization, for the CIA. And if you want to read a good book on that, read Compromise by Terry Reid. It spells the whole thing out and who was involved, the Bushes, the Clintons, etc. And at any rate, getting back to Bill Clinton, there was a point at which he got to be too big for his britches, thought he could just do whatever he wanted. And he lost one term being governor of Arkansas. And that put him back out on the farm, basically. So in terms of Billy's own terminology, he got religion. He learned, okay, this is who runs things, and then he got to be president. And Hillary hitched his wagon to him very early on. Anyway, all of these people have a price to pay for their own worldly power game. To get that power, they got to give something. And so anyway, it's strange how Jeffrey Epstein had a way of getting in with all of these people, big money people, and big attorneys. Like, who's the guy that's always on Fox News, the commentary on constitutional issues? I forget his name. You know who he is. Elderly guy that's, always talking about constitutional issues or election results and et cetera, et cetera. And Epstein was in his camp. At any rate, Epstein was all over the place, but somehow he got in and maybe in some kind of entrapment mode with Billy Gates, getting back to Billy Gates. And so anyway, these people have a way of falling out of grace after doing something. And when they do, now, understand that probably 99% of all senators, all congressmen, all politicians, and almost all people in D.C., in Washington, D.C., have been compromised. They probably have compromised movies of them with underage kids, with, compromising sexual activity, etc., that could be exposed at any time. And so they're owned, they're bought and paid for. They are not only, and so what is their option? Accept the money, accept the bribes, sign off on the legislation the way it's supposed to go for the people higher up that own the corporations, that have the money, the bankers, the five banking families of New York, etc. They own and operate all these politicians. Okay, so at any rate, the bottom line is that any one of them on any given day could take it crash and burn. Like Matt Gaetz, recent victim of the same thing. He was, vocal, a Trump supporter, and you don't have to be a Trump supporter or anybody's supporter. You just cross the wrong people in the wrong way, and all of a sudden they pull the carpet out from under you, and you are in the public exposure, and they have all this data on people as being compromised. They, let me tell you something. They had tried to come out numerous times on me to try and compromise me, and it didn't work. I didn't buy into it. I didn't bite the hook, as they say. And so anyway, those are other stories, but they have a way of getting people entrapped. And wow. And so I think, but the thing is when they want to pull the carpet out from under someone, they do it, and it's very public and it's very clear. And then the news media comes in like wolves. Like you say, Richard Nixon, another great example, politician who was riding high, became president, was the first president to go to the moon with NASA and all of this stuff, and comes crashing down and burning. And clearly Nixon had crossed the wrong people. He was falling out of grace. And when it happens, what's interesting is to see all of the other politicians sit around and even point fingers and go, oh, look at him. Look at how terrible Matt Gaetz was, or Richard Nixon, or whoever they were talking, you know, whoever is involved. And watch that happen with Billy Gaetz. All people walk away from him and then start pointing fingers when they're just as culpable as he is. That's the way it works. That's Washington, D.C. It stinks. It reeks of this. And what I've said before is the best prison in the world is you just put a big fence all the way around Washington, D.C. and call it a prison. It'd be about 99% correct on everybody that's there. Because, in you know, a lot of them live in the outside the beltway, that is called, and commute in every day. All of the support for government, the people, influencers, and on and on, that hover around D.C. And why are they there? Because, hey, that's where the money is. It's like the bank robbers used to say. They'd say, well, why do you rob banks? Because, well, that's where the money is. Why do pedophiles hang around schools? Well, that's where the kids are. You know, I mean, this is a theme that runs thick in the human race. Opportunists looking for their whatever it is they're looking for in Washington, D.C. has got it all, you know. So at any rate, my guess is that we're very soon to see Billy Gaetz take a fall. And when he does, all of his money and all of his wealth and all of his influence and all of his, you know, pandering and all of his support of COVID and everything else is going to come crashing down and burning around him. And that's why Melinda, the wife, is setting herself apart. And apparently this has been going on for a number of years. But now that it's become public, now that it has hit the more than just the the street chatter, so to speak, it looks like the curtain is coming down on Billy Gaetz. And when it does, watch the wolves come in, the news media, the politicians, the other rich people, and point fingers at him. Some people will just back away and not say anything. The Clintons will all of a sudden not be hanging out with Billy Gaetz anymore, and that could get pretty ugly. They might drag him into court. Maybe they got evidence that they can present. Okay, now I've been going on about this for almost the first 20 minutes of my show, so why am I doing that? I want to point out to you people that these people that are so high and mighty really are not, and they've got, in a lot of cases, a long, long history of dirty laundry in the closet. Let me tell you. This could be the key for a lot of other people to fall, but I would not become too positive. I would not become too optimistic about that happening, because all these other people have been protected for a long time and they're still very useful. Okay, enough of that. But I think the main point is here is that the world runs, and the people that are very high up are the controllers, for example, and you never see their names and faces. And these people like Billy Gaetz are allowed to be the richest man in the world, who really isn't the richest man in the world, but to operate all of these things down here on at ground earth level. And then below them are lots of other peoples that flock around. I've had people many times suggest that I should become associated with Bill Gaetz because of my wing generator and other inventions, things like that, primarily the energy stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to have anything to do with these people. They're sick, demented, deranged people. And, you know, what they do with their money is a good sign of it. Warren Buffett investing in three-blade wind turbines that don't work, and he says they don't work. The only reason he is there is for the subsidies. Okay. Anyway, enough on the darker side of light. Just a quick announcement here. Sometimes public exposure is the best way to cure something. Usually my customers are just wonderful, et cetera. It goes really well. And right now, with the new HI filters, we're filling orders like pronto because we have these in stock. The new MR5 filters are coming in right now, being organized in stock with the new HI filter technology, et cetera. A number of months ago, I had a customer, and if he didn't want to pay with PayPal or this, that's fine. He didn't have internet, okay, so he put in an order using somebody else's credit card, then canceled it, and then come back and says, no, he wants 20 filter elements. And so this is like a, you know, pushing $700 order. So I got on the phone, and I coached him through it, and I actually took his information. Close to $800 order for stuff. And then he gets his stuff. He gets like 20 filter elements. Most people order 10, you know, so this guy orders 20. And that's a nice order. I'm happy to get that. But then he comes back, and a month after getting him, and comes back and cancels his credit card payment. Leaves me hanging with $700 order that I don't get the money for, plus I had to produce the goods and ship them, so I've got another $400 easy in my expenses, probably more than that, probably $500 expense of my own. So I'm out $1,200 for a guy that just ripped me off. And his first name is, I'm not going to go into names. If he's listening, he knows who he is, because this does not happen. I mean, once a long time ago, I had a guy rip me off for a water filter, stainless steel water filter, and I went through UPS, and they confirmed the delivery, and he had even signed for it, etc. And so anyway, I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to make one more call to the phone number. So I call the house, and the wife answers. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm James McCanny, and we sent this water filter to your house, and it got a charge back, and your husband is claiming you did not get this, and I just want to resolve this. And she goes, just a minute. And she turns to him. Obviously, the husband is in the room there. This was an elderly couple. She goes, did you rip off Mr. McCanny for that water filter we got on the counter there? And all I could hear was silence. She comes back on the phone. She goes, I'll take care of this. Woo! I would not have wanted to have been that guy. I just suspect he was sleeping somewhere else that night. Anyway, that's the only one I can remember. And that was like a decade ago or more. So it's really a rare occasion when somebody rips me off. But this is like, you know, I really don't have an extra $1,200 to be ripped off. Okay, so exposure is the best way to get at somebody to let them realize that, you know, what they did was incorrect. Let's put it that way. Just a quick note on the scientific side of things. There's been a lot of hype lately. There were supposed to be a couple G-class flares coming at Earth in the last couple days. And, of course, these are non-events. These are absolute non-events, but they blow it up big in the news media. So if you've seen these, this is what Shakespeare called Much Ado About Nothing. Back in the Hale-Bopp days, there were 2 to 3 X-class flares per day. And these were big, booming flares back in the mid to late 90s because Hale-Bopp was in the solar system and exciting the sun because it was discharging the solar capacitor. Okay. But anyway, just that's another indicator that they're priming the pump. And, oh, maybe a year ago or so, I made a forecast. I said they're going to start pulling the power grid. And was I right? I just hate when I'm right. Excuse me. But that was so predictable. And from my point of view and understanding how they, because you had the COVID thing and that controlled the news media and the public for a long period of time. But then all of a sudden, the COVID thing is going away. People are taking their masks off. People are having gatherings. People are throwing cops out of their establishments, telling them to get out of there, and going back to normal life. Big gatherings are occurring. Sporting events are happening again with lots of people. No masks, shoulder to shoulder, screaming, jumping up and down. And so the fear factor has worn off. I think people are finally realizing that the boogeyman, the man behind the curtain, is dead. The COVID thing was, I don't want to even talk about it because it's just, but the point is the public is waking up to the, hey, was there really ever such a thing? And were there really all these deaths? No, there weren't. Were the numbers of tests? No, it was a fake test. So the fear factor has worn off. And so they had to come up with something new, and that's what I said all along. The next thing would be pulling the power grid. And that's exactly what has been going on and will continue to go on. So it might be coming to a place near you, and, they got all these different reasons. Now there's the pipeline shutdown. Ooh, hackers. I just want to comment on that just a little bit. My past career, I taught about 10 years at the university level, physics, mathematics, computer science, and yes, computer science. So it's something I know a little bit about. I worked also for about 25 years in the telecommunications industry and in high-level secure companies. And 10 of those years, I was a protocol expert, also an encryption expert. And we built networks, private networks all over the world for oil companies, for banks, for governments, state, federal, foreign governments, you name it, big, important outfits, and never once had anybody hacked. And so for them to have this completely vulnerable pipeline be hacked is beyond absurd. But then the other thing is, clearly it was a faked operation. You couldn't possibly let your pants down that far to where you are having, your system hacked. It's absolutely ridiculous. But let's play devil's advocate. Let's play, clearly there was some hacking going on. Or not clearly, that's what they're saying. I don't even believe it. But, they're representing it as being a hacked computer system. But here's what happens. If you have a secure computing operation, like something that maintains the United States' most important Eastern Coast pipeline, delivering fuel, etc., that's essential to the entire eastern part of the United States, you would have your systems backed up. They would be in a constant state of backup because you have gigabytes and gigabytes of software operating and independent, etc., and being updated. And so even updates could have a flaw which would require you to go back and install a backup. And so you're constantly backing up this software. So to say that somebody has come in and taken over your computer and you just can't open it up anymore and days and days and days go by is absolutely absurd, because here's what you would do. You would shut off the computers. You would come back. You would do a blanket reset of the memories and you would take your backup and you would reload it, and you would be off and running again with some superior encryption firewalls, etc., to block anybody from coming in. You would also take it offline. You wouldn't allow it to be. You would have a level of security that keeps the entire network completely off of the Internet, which the Internet, of course, allowing people to get access to your computer system, etc., and you would go into a secure mode. So, I mean, this is a lie. The hacking of the pipeline is a lie, and politicians and business owners and business representatives can say something like, oh, this got hacked, etc., and that somebody's holding them hostage. It's a lie. And if anybody is passing along, they're stupid. They don't know anything about computers, computer backup, what you do in a secure computer setting. And I thought it was funny that they were looking for someone to manage their central computer system. Do you think the guy got fired, maybe, that was in charge of IT for this outfit? Or maybe they didn't even have one. Maybe they had some, you know, I can't even imagine who was operating their IT. The federal government had people from foreign countries operating their IT for years, and they were just daily hacking this material. Remember the guy in New York? They found his laptop, the friend of the Clintons, and they had hired these foreigners to run the data system of the federal government. For years, they were just lifting all this data out of the federal government. Yeah, I mean, it just is goofy. Let me put it that way. But no, there was no serious hacking of anything. It was all a charade. And it could have been fixed in a New York second, in a probably run situation. How about self-driving cars? What's your opinion on that? And my opinion is, I don't want a car that's driving itself and somehow there's a program in there that maybe, you know, cannot figure out all the possible combinations of being on the road and driving. And so anyway, there was an example on YouTube or some video that was public this past week. But anyway, there's this self-driving car and the guy's in the back seat. And they come around a corner and all of a sudden there's some cones in the road, you know, like those orange cones and the road traffic cones in the middle of the road. And this car did not know what to do with these road cones. It would go to the right and go to the left and swing around and basically became a hazard on the road, this car, because it couldn't figure out what was going on with these cones. So, and all of a sudden, there's a voice that comes on and says, we're from the automated attention center, and we'll take care of this problem. Sorry, you're having a problem. And then the guy has to get out and actually turn the car over to manual, so he actually has to drive the car back to wherever it was supposed to go. But anyway, do you want some computer program that, look at the most sophisticated pipeline in the United States, is hacked? And so you want to be in an automobile where your automobile is on the internet, and say somebody doesn't like you. And they hack into your car, and all of a sudden you're accelerating down the road 120 miles an hour and crash into a street pole. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's all go get in the car and let the car drive itself. Dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And now here's the extreme example where a B-2 bomber. Now, a B-2 bomber is the most sophisticated long-range bomber in the world. It's all manually controlled. We're talking $2 billion a copy here. $2 billion for a B-2 bomber. And I just saw a video of a B-2 bomber taking off. It's coming out down the runway, taxiing. It lifts up, and the left wing just drops down and catches the ground. And, of course, this thing crashes and burns completely. It's all composites, so it burns very well. Carbon composites is a very flammable material and burns to smithereens, $2 billion loss. The only known accident with a B-2 bomber, but anyway, the resolution, the prognostication of what happened here was that it was taking off in the rain, and a sensor was misinterpreting about the attitude of the plane. In other words, it thought it was the left wing was up, so it was trying to bring the left wing down, when in fact it was a horizontal attitude, and the left wing went down below horizontal and crashed into the ground. So here's a case. The B-2 bomber, the most sophisticated electronic warfare machine ever built in the history of the world, the most expensive auto control systems built by, you know, the probably Raytheon, General Electric, Boeing, who knows who, that are the most sophisticated and self-correcting, probably with triple redundancy, everything you could imagine that your stupid little car ain't going to have, buddy, you know, as far as auto controls, etc. And here it is, just taking off, a routine takeoff, and it couldn't do it. Something failed. So now, let's get back to your automobile. Self-driving cars, no thank you. I'll be at the wheel myself, like I have been since I was 16 years old. Thank you very much. So we're pushing, I won't say how many decades, lots and lots of decades, driving all kinds of conditions all around the world, etc. And no, I'm not going to have an auto self-driving automobile. Thank you very much. There's been a lot of news lately about UFOs. It's in the news. Tucker Carlson's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. Is the United States government, apparently 60 Minutes, interviewed a couple Navy pilots who said they saw this thing zipping around, and a lot of smoke and mirrors dealing with UFOs. And so, say, a Navy pilot who's flying a top performance fighter jet, you know, the best aircraft known to the public anyway, in the public world. And here's this thing zipping around, flying up and trailing this guy in a jet, a high-performance jet, and basically walking circles around him. And then when it gets right in front of him, he's going, you know, he's got to be going 400 or 500 miles an hour. This thing gets right in front of him long enough for him to get a good beat on it, and then it disappears, just goes out of sight. So anyway, and it's on his radar, so it's not just him seeing things, and this is a trained Navy fighter pilot, you know, probably the top gun guy. And so anyway, they're putting all this information out, but this is really not scientific information. And it just so happens that I happened to work in this field back in the early 1980s. One of the things I, as a result of my understanding of the electromagnetic nature of the atmosphere and the solar system and planetary discharges and plasma discharge of the solar capacitor, etc., because of my knowledge of this, I invented a propulsion system, electromagnetic propulsion system, and presented this to military meetings, etc., and it literally showed the propulsion mechanism for flying saucers. Very simple. It's in my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, one of the IEEE papers that resulted from a talk I gave at in Colorado Springs, the 19th International Electric Propulsion Conference. Had a resulting paper IEEE published, and that's why I was out in Los Angeles in the early 1980s after my Cornell days. I was busy working to get funding for my space projects. And that's where I ran into the bankers and the banker families. I talk about that in some of my books, etc. But the whole issue with UFOs, it's all, everything they're presenting here is a big facade. And this is what I told you weeks, months ago. I said they're going to come out with UFO is so-called disclosure. And I said the disclosure movement, MUFON, the old Skywatch outfit, was all completely infiltrated. And I guess the best thing to call it, well, infiltrated, let's just put it that way. And, of course, the top down was the CIA. The CIA had Skywatch offices all over the world. And the whole purpose of those offices was to, if anybody, any like the, you know, guy or gal out in the country saw a UFO, a real one, then they'd come in and come to the local Skywatch office, give the information, and then it would be a clearinghouse for information coming in from all over the world dealing with UFOs, because a lot of times some country bumpkin was out in the middle of the country, looks up in the sky at night and sees one of these things flying around, And there's no military. There's no, out in the middle of nowhere, you know, the Amazon jungle or who knows, something similar. And, you know, so there's no military. There's no Air Force bases. There's no naval bases. There's no government facilities. There's no radar. There's not even any telephones. You know, there's no TV. There's no radio. There's nothing. And so it could be some, like I say, country bumpkin and living out in the middle of nowhere who happens to see something, and then that information would come in to the Skywatch offices. Well, the Skywatch closed all their offices one day, and I knew people high up in MUFON, a mutual UFO network, I think it's called MUFON. And, of course, their idea was to go out and have all these volunteers going out and, like, looking for UFOs, taking cameras out at night, searching for UFOs, and then bringing the information back. But there again, it was all infiltrated from the top down, same as the Disclosure Project. So everything they're showing you is a big dog and pony show. It has no meaning, has nothing to do with reality. It's meant to keep the Trekkies and the UFO geeks, and they're nice people. I'm one myself, you know, so I'm calling myself a Trekkie UFO geek, except I don't dress up in costumes and repeat lines from movies. But the reality is this, the propulsion systems and the technology have been well known for a long time. And when I went to meetings, you know, these were high-level meetings. These were serious scientists, and they took me very seriously. It took serious enough to rip off my technology when I told them I didn't want these delivering nuclear bombs. I didn't want my technology, my invention, delivering nuclear bombs, and that's when they started sidelining me from my own project, etc. Anyway, so you're going to see a lot more of this fake information on UFOs coming out. And it's gonna go on and on, and then they're going to put another date. Oh, on such and such a date, the CIA's opened all its files. No, ain't going to happen, but boys and girls, it is not going to happen. Okay, so just a quick note here. Want to remind you the new JMCC-HI filter elements. Remember, for the past probably 12 years, I've been selling what the term the GF filter elements, the ceramic with the internal mixture inside that takes out everything in a single filter element, the lowest price available any place, available in 4 and 10 packs, with the 10 packs having free shipping to the 50 states, etc. And I've upgraded that to the HI technology. Some major, major improvements which make it easier for me to do a number of things, to expand, for one thing. It makes it easier for me to reach larger markets, something that I was never able to do before with the ceramic filters. And then also they're not breakable. They're very sturdy, so that I don't have the issue shipping. So when they go to foreign countries, or if they go to, say, some relief effort in Africa, I don't have to worry about them arriving in one piece, which they typically would not. And so it's the equivalent of what I had before, but there are some improvements. I mentioned this, in that some people had gas in their water supply, and they would have this smell. And the old GF filters did not take out that gas. And this was very few people. I could probably count on two hands and two feet the number of people that I encountered with this issue going back over the 12 years I've been selling, and really 20 years I've been selling water filters. I started back in the year, literally 2000, when I started this radio program, and I was selling a brand, which I won't mention. I don't sell anymore, never will sell anymore. But anyway, I was selling water filters, and that's what got me going in radio. But at any rate, the new HI filter elements are really light years ahead. There's nothing like these on the market at all. And so I'm working on right now getting stainless steel containers back. That, I believe, is coming. So if you're interested, if you've been waiting, just, you know, those when they're available, I'll let you know. But also the MR5, the whole house water filters now have the new HI technology filter elements also. And so some of the biggest issues is they're not breakable. They are very sturdy. They actually, the new HI filters have a bit smaller pore size on the outer shell, and they have some improvements in the medium that goes in the middle. And so I wanted to mention this. This is available on my webpage, jmccsci.com. And so go there and purchase your water filter elements. And the other thing is we have these available for immediate shipping. And that's something that in the past, it was very hard to control the ceramic filter production versus the demand. And it went back and forth, sometimes too many on the shelves and then sometimes not enough. Depending, it was very hard to judge. But now that all of that has changed, and so basically we're shipping the filter elements out the same day, if worst case scenario, the next day if they come in later in the afternoon. So anyway, go to the webpage, jmccsci.com, and see my new webpage, my new WordPress webpage. Very proud of that. There's some glitches there that we're still trying to fix, and that's a very big project to transfer my page. Has 9 gigabytes of information. And so there's still some things that are being ported over, but the bulk of the material that you would see by going to the webpage is there. The weekly radio shows are updated to date. For a while they were missing back to last January, but now they're up to date and will be updated weekly as soon as this radio show finishes. It's a quick update. Plus, I'll be doing some podcast platforms, adding that to the webpage, and then some other goodies that'll be like weather-related, where you can go and see weather, get weather interpretation on a daily basis, etc. So a lot of changes going on there. It keeps me a very busy person and very much out of trouble. Keeps me right where I am and my little studio office, etc., which is very nice and comfortable, but the one good thing, like I say, keeps me out of mischief, so I don't fall the way of the Bill Gateses of the world. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about. I know a lot of people that have moved out into the country recently, and there's kind of a mentality that if you're used to living in a city with all the activity, etc., it's kind of a change of pace, it's a change of mentality. And there are groups of people who've had great success and developing. Here's the issue, and I think this is the issue with kids, is that in modern life with the telephones, with the chats, with the texting, with the video, with the, I don't know, the newest thing, TikTok, which I don't even know what it is. It's some kind of messaging platform or something. And the kids have not had any discipline. When I grew up, I'd come from school. There was no television. There were certainly no phones. If I wanted to call a friend, I'd go over to the landline and call up and plan something, but it was like a one-minute phone call, and that was it. There was no all-night-long chatting with my buddies on a telephone. And I spent long, long hours up in my room, which was basically like an office. I had a big, beautiful desk with all my stuff organized there. And on those long, quiet winter nights, would have long hours of concentration time where I studied physics and mathematics and really had time for my mind to concentrate, and that's totally missing today. The average attention span today of a kid is 15 seconds until something new has to come along and get their attention, and it's back and forth. And so they don't have any attention span. There were, say, physics problems or math problems that would take hours and hours and hours to do one problem, because you'd had to pull information out of various branches of physics and math to solve these problems. Very complicated stuff. And, you know, I would spend, and when I was in college, spend a lot of time over at the physics lab, and we had a physics library in the physics building where people would congregate. Every person in the physics department had their own office in the physics department. So there was a lot of camaraderie, a lot of people in talking about physics. And when I was in a underclassman, there were the upperclassmen that were very helpful. If you ever had a problem, say, oh, look, I'm just having a problem with this, they'd go and you would get perspective from two or three or four different upperclassmen. Very good environment. And even when I was at Cornell, they didn't have an environment like that. Everybody just came to class and they all went back to their own apartments. There was no camaraderie in the physics department as such, and especially for undergraduates who paid a lot of money, and I didn't feel got a very good education. But it didn't be that as it may. The entire issue is that parents have to take time and work with your kids so that they concentrate and make sure that they stay at their desk for a long period. Take that phone away, take the tablet, the computer. In fact, I would take the computer away. Kids have to have a physical book in their hand, and that's something that's going away now with the COVID thing. Everybody's online learning. Really, really, really bad, because there's something about having a book in your hand that it's kind of like, it's like a warm feeling. It's like you're almost touching the author's brain and communicating with the brain of the author. Whereas online, it's like you flip from one thing to the next, and then, oh, you eat a little snippet here and a little snippet there. That's not a way to train the brain to concentrate. And that's why young people today are so easily manipulated, is because they don't have any concentration attention span. They don't have any ability to sit there and concentrate for more than 10, 15 seconds. It's horrific. So how are you going to train them to run the world? I'll be honest with you, the majority of people running the world today are probably over 60 years old. And that's because they were trained at a time when there was legitimate training and discipline and mental discipline, etc., that people had to pay attention. And I would say most companies today that are succeeding probably have at least some talented elderly people. And elderly, that's kind of a relative term now too. When I was young, I think my grandfather died when he was in his mid-60s. I don't have an exact age, maybe 66 years old, and he was considered old. You know, all of that is out the window. You have people living into their 90s, etc., doing very well. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more people crossing into the hundreds with the people that are in the baby boomers. So these people are going to continue working. You know, there's no such thing as retirement, as going away and sitting in a chair and planning your next golf outing is the only thing you do. That's not going to be typical. The typical person is going to be active in a company or in an effort of some kind, and or maybe even just at home doing work at home that's mentally related, you know, and keeping active. So, but you got to keep active as you age and you get, you know, 20, 30, 40. I remember when I was 30, I was just like bewildered. I was like, my goodness, I couldn't even imagine being 30 years old, then a 40, then 50, then the decades going by. And it's like, okay, it's like I consider myself physically the same as I was when I was 30 years old. And unless I slip on a banana peel someplace or do something stupid or whatever, things, you know, if you just take care of yourself, your body is meant to last a very long time. In fact, I would project to say that there are people alive today that could easily live to 150 years old. I was on Coast to Coast AM one night, and the caller called in, and he started kind of praising me. It was on, I think, May 26th, was it 2020? I was on the Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and this caller calls in. I don't know who it was, But he said that McCanny should live to 100 and, I don't know if he said a number, like 120, 130 years old or something like that. But the idea being that, you know, I've got many decades of very good work behind me, and there's a lot more to come. There's a lot more out there that I know that I'm working on projects here that if I had more time and I didn't have all that time with my business things, I'd be working on those and probably breaking new ground, for example, with the prime numbers, which I have two volumes that are ready to print, but it's a big organizational project to get books published and organized to the point where they're ready to be distributed. But I have two more books of the prime number work, and I know I still am not at the I'm expanding somewhat exponential in my knowledge on prime numbers, given the what I consider now was a major beginning back in 2007 when I published the Calculate Primes book and DVD. That was a major step, but I've gone so far beyond that now. That's like a third grade primer book now. Anyway, the point is that students have to concentrate, and they have to look at the long term. They have to understand that there's a big future out there, and we might be going into space here. You've got people like Elon Musk that's positioning mankind. Elon Musk has done more in 5 years than NASA did in the past 50 years. And you have to ask yourself, how come? Why didn't NASA, our illustrious space agency, do more? Most of the time, and still even today, they're on the ground. If it weren't for SpaceX, there wouldn't be anything going on. Anyway, I'm about out of time here, but this was a somewhat of an interesting show where I had a collage of topics to cover and general interest topics, things that I think are topics that are important to understand from a world perspective. So at any rate, remember, go to my webpage, the HI Filter Elements. New and just I'm very, very happy with these. A lot of the advantages is for me as a manufacturer, as a production manager, as a marketer, as a person that's trying to get a technology out to the public that's superior, that will cure the water problem of the world. Wow, that's for me, that's a major step. That's a quantum step in water filtration technology. So once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.